2026. Hope all is well. Looking forward to a great show today. A lot to do today. No Paul Streeler today. He is out with a family obligation, and so we'll get him next week. I'll see him at practice today, and I'll see Ashby at practice today, and I'll see Dabo Sweeney and Christopher Vecina and Tate Reynolds. Can't wait. It's going to be a busy show. Going to preview that and talk a lot about Georgia's practice and Clemson practice and South Carolina practice and college football today. Some baseball stuff, a little bit of golf stuff, some fifth-year basketball stuff. Great day. Can't wait to get into it. The producer of this show. This is like hump day if you're here 3 days. It's like the middle day of the week.
It Ashley is. Mixon. I told somebody yesterday, they're like, how's your week going? I was like, to be honest with you, Monday and Tuesday is kind of my weekend. So yeah, we're kind of just getting rolling today.
Remind folks, you're balancing because you're writing as well.
Yes.
And now you've got a fall show. What else? Anything else? Because, I mean, that's about 20 of the 24 hours. You get to sleep a little bit, maybe, every once in a while? You get to eat a meal every once in a while?
I'm mixing a meal. Listen, I did so good yesterday.
Yeah?
I went to the grocery store. Nice. And I thought ahead. I didn't just get stuff for one day. This sounds like normal people stuff, but for me, this is not usually how I roll. So we had an actual healthy dinner, feeling good about life.
And got some sleep, I hear.
And I got some sleep.
Nice.
I got like 5 hours, which for me on these days is great.
If I had 5 hours, I'd be like, what are you talking about? I don't care. Get out of here. What?
But also, you do this 5 days a week, so a little different.
Yeah, my niece, one of my nieces, does meal prep. And so, like, her mom and dad, my sister and brother want to come and see her a couple weeks ago. And they want to see her on a Sunday afternoon. And she's like, Mom, I got to go shop. I got to do all my meal prep. Like, she does it all week. Every lunch, every dinner. She does it on Sundays.
I wish I had my life together that much. It's so impressive when people do that.
Yeah. I can't do that, though. My wife is great at many things. One is piecing together, because I'll say, we got to go to the grocery store. We got nothing here. She'll go get, like, you ever see these cookie shows where they'll say, a pear, cilantro.
A jar of peanut butter.
And a French toast, and they go make some sort of extravagant meal out of it. My wife does that.
I am so jealous of that. That is such a gift.
It really is, and it saves us money, and we don't waste as much. So yeah, it's fun. A lot of fun as far as that goes. Good day yesterday.
Great day yesterday. I realized on the way here, and I don't know why I hadn't really thought about this. This is my first year since I was, like, Isla's age, not going to school in the fall. And so today kind of feels like my first day at school.
Because you're going practice and writing first day of school?
Yes. New season. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I was terrible at school. I hated school. I like first grade and second grade. First day of third grade on, like, I don't like this.
You're like, nope.
This ain't my deal. I'm ready to get out of this stuff. I had a great day yesterday. I played golf yesterday.
And how'd it go?
Fairly well. First, we got a text during the show that the walk course, the storms the other day, I was playing the walk course at Clemson, that the storms, the front nine was closed because there's maybe a bridge issue that turned out not to be a bridge issue. There's a tree over a bridge that turned out to be real, and there's some flooding on the front and all that. There were fish in the bunkers on numbers. Yeah, 1, 2, and 3 yesterday. We had fish in the bunkers because of the rising. You know, the Honeycutt Creek comes through there. This is crazy. Honeycutt Creek is designated as a navigable waterway in which you couldn't get a little paper boat through it. That's crazy. So they need to dredge it out or whatever to make the water run faster through it. It gets caught up in there with all the garbage in it, all the rocks and all the growth. So anytime heavy rain, it floods up. So, I mean, that's crazy. But that said, we thought we got to play the back nine, and only the back nine because it's so crowded. We got to play the back nine twice. So that was fun.
Nice. So you got all 18.
Yeah. And only had 3 bad holes.
Mickey.
That ain't bad. But there were 2 doubles and a bogey. But 14 pars, only 1 birdie.
How'd you do on the last hole?
I parred the last hole.
That's one of your...
One of my axioms. Yep. One of my 9 axioms. Yep. Hey, that's a good memory.
Thank you.
You know why champions birdie the 18th?
Tell me.
You're supposed to birdie 2 of the last 3. That's an axiom. Because that way, if you're 10 over or 10 under, you're focused on those last 3. Mm-hmm. And then champions always birdie the 18th hole. And that worked out this year for the PGA Tour majors, like you always see that. So That keeps you focused on it. But no, I played, didn't hit it great, didn't putt it great, just kind of did everything okay. But it was good. And today's a big day because my launch monitor comes in. So we'll set that up in the garage. Oh, it's big. So hopefully that'll work out good. And then took Drake to baseball evaluations.
Okay.
And we have his new team. And the head coach and the assistant coaches on the team are very good friends of mine, and they're great guys, and their kids are great kids. And so we got a really bunch of good fellas. It's going to be a lot of fun. First practice on Monday coming up. Can't wait.
Do we know a team name yet?
I don't know if we know one yet. No, I don't know. But these are, again, the group of coaches that were put together by the head coach, man, just great guys. So can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun.
How was everybody's second day of school?
Good, because it's uneventful. I told my wife, I said, I'm praying for a boring day today for you. Sometimes you need boring. So that went well. Isla's doing great. She's amazing. So, the good Lord's blessed us. Made the decision already today.
Beautiful.
At 5:03, my alarm went off, and I was like, I'm going to make my decision before my feet hit the ground. Today's going to be a great day. You made your decision yet?
I made my decision at 5:11.
All right.
I went with a new coffee recipe this morning.
Nice.
First sip said it's going to be a good day.
You like it?
Oh, it's really delicious.
Nice.
Yeah, got some honey in there, a little brown sugar.
Let's go. Sound like your mom with some sort of long coffee list thing.
Yeah, honestly, look, I got to do what I can now that I'm a coffee at home person.
That is not a saving money thing. That is a logistic thing, because of where you move to and you don't have a coffee shop near you that's open at that time of day and accessible.
Correct. Okay. I can tell people it's because of saving money, but
and
I
you
know
will
myself.
Save money.
Oh yeah.
Because what we pay for coffee, man, that's amazing to me in this country. We're a bunch of over caffeinated people, and we pay. It doesn't matter. You know, we complain about everything, prices of everything. Nobody complains about price of coffee. I've never heard anybody talk about, I got to stop this coffee thing. It's costing me too much.
I have heard people say that.
Well, I wonder what the cost involved, just the materials. Now, again, you got rent and you got to pay employees. I'm not going to make a bad joke on here. I'm not. The employees have to buy all their facial piercing stuff and their hair coloring and all that kind of stuff. So you got a lot.
Let me tell you this, though. All right. If I roll up to a coffee shop and my barista has none of that going on, coffee ain't going to taste good.
No.
I already know.
Hit the gas.
I need.
Unless your face is like a taco box and got purple hair, hit the gas. I'm out of here.
I'll do it at home. Do it myself.
I'll show you.
Literally. That's how you know.
So I didn't get in trouble. I didn't get fired for that one.
Not for me.
All right. Making sure. What are we going to do in segment two today?
We are going to talk. I figure a lot of today will be fall camp, so we're going to switch it up. We're going to talk about a story I saw with Boston College basketball's announcers that got fired. It's kind of a whodunit situation right now.
We have a mystery.
We have a mystery on our hands.
Murder mystery, basically.
Murder of a radio career.
Yeah. And Ben Milson knows these guys. I was talking to him about it yesterday, and he's like, man, these are good dudes. This is bad news. This is awful. So we'll talk about that coming up. I saw one of the, and I don't know, oh, I know who sent it to me. A good friend of mine, Dave, sent this to me. And it's one of the coolest videos I've ever seen. And really, I had no idea. I'm going to send it to you during the break.
And please
do. We're going to talk about this. But it is the things we do as far as to prepare a football in the NFL. The actual football itself. Have you seen this video?
No.
Oh,
I love
stuff
like this.
Yeah, this thing is, there's like 9 steps, and they add, they put mud on the ball, like a mud for a facial thing. They put all the kinds of conditioner on the ball, and they buff the ball out, and it's amazing. I'll see if it's good enough for the air, because it's a lot of visuals too. But it really is cool to see. And I don't know how long the process takes. We'll have to look this up too. But like it is absolutely amazing to see. Let me see how long the video is here. Bear with me, I'll see this.
So it gets a spa day, is what you're telling me.
It's unbelievable what we do to prepare an NFL football. The it's like shoe polish, and then you buff it with the mechanical buffer.
That is so cool.
We do that over and over again, and we put hot water on it, and we it's like we don't put it in the oven, but everything else, and all these, how meticulous they are. It really, truly is amazing to see.
Do you think they do that for college football too, or is this just an NFL thing?
I don't know. It's a 3-minute video. I'm going to send it to you now.
Please do.
And I'll let you be the judge of whether it's worthy of air, because it's a visual. We might just have to put it up and let people watch it or something too. But, man, it really is cool to see. And to be honest with you, I had no idea that's how things worked. So I learned something. I love learning things. But on this deal, man, I had no idea at all. I don't know how I'm going to send it to you here. It's a short from one of these social media deals.
I have a couple questions. Yeah. Number one, how and when did they start doing this? Number two, is there somebody that's their whole job?
It seems like it has to be. What I did not know, let me see if I can copy here. I'm trying to send this to you. What I did not know is, and how many, I mean, footballs they take into games. We need to get an equipment man or lady on with us to talk about everything that goes into the equipment part.
We could definitely do that.
Because that's just fascinating. All the logistics. You know, Millsett told me this one time. He told me, I just sent it to you. He told me about just the headsets and the security of a headset. Because, you know, these things are going through the air now. Like, they're not wired. They're wireless. But how to make sure that nobody else is listening on the headsets and the security levels of how you block all that out? I had no idea. You have to, but how does that work?
That's fascinating.
It really is. It really is. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that during the day.
Texter gets in and says they do the same thing with Major League Baseballs.
Yes.
This is all news to me.
It's really, and I think we'll play it on the air. Our fans, and we'll try to describe what they're doing on the air too, but it's really cool to see. So let's watch that during the break and see if we'll put that out. Major League Baseball last night, Braves got an awesome outing from Bryce Elder. He goes 7 innings, 1 hit. Now, it was a 1-run, 2 walks, only 3 strikeouts, but that led the Braves to a great win. They got 3 in the bottom of the 2nd inning. Riley, Dubon, and Baldwin with some RBIs in this one. No homers for the Braves. Braves out hit them 10-3. And the Braves won 4-1. They're now 69-45. That's one part of the equation. The Phillies lost as well. Nationals beat the Phillies 10-4. So now 8.5 game lead there. Rest of Major League Baseball quickly. And 10, Jays over the Strohs. Cubbies beat the Dodgers 7-6. Dodgers, man, what in the world's going on in L.A. right now?
I don't know, but it's hilarious.
I love it, too. Dodgers have lost 6 in a row. The back-to-back sweeps by the Red Sox and the Cubs. And now they go to the Diamondbacks. Let's keep that up. Rangers shut out the Giants 6-0. Rays shut out the Rockies 4-0. O's beat the Halos 5-2. Big Red Machine down the A's 3-2. Mets in 10 over the Guardians 6-5. Yankees got beat 3-1 to the Redbirds. Nationals in 10 over the Phillies. Told you that 10-4. Red Sox stay hot. Beat the White Sox 4-0. The Brew Crew over the Bucks 4-2. Royals crowned the king. The Twins 2-1. The Twinkies 2-1. M's over the Tiger. The Bengals 4-2. And the D-backs beat the Padres. The Fathers 10-4.
I am watching, or I just watched here on SportsCenter playing in the studio. This Brewers pitcher struck out 8 consecutive guys. It's nasty. Kyle Harrison.
I didn't know that.
Goodness gracious. I think they said that's the 2nd longest streak. At least this year. That's 8 consecutive?
That's a lot of swing and misses in there for sure.
Yeah, nasty stuff. Goodness gracious.
We have to get back to baseball where the strikeout is embarrassing.
You're so right.
I'm friends with some folks that know Billy Amick, who got traded the other day. And it's like, man, he's having a good year. He's got 23 home runs. So I looked it up. And he's hitting 217, and he struck out like 123 times in 108 games. I was like, what?
I know.
Yeah, he's got 23 home runs and 72 RBIs, having a good year. Like, and I looked it up. Like, some of the people were talking about, oh, yeah, he's having a good minor league career so far. I was like, dude, he's hitting 217.
He
and he strikes out 100. I'm not picking up Billy for this. What I'm saying is, what are we doing to where if you hit 217, this is what Chipper's argument was. This is what Posada's argument is. This is what Will Clark's argument is. I'm sorry, man, but if you're striking out 123 times, 108 games, you're hitting 217, that's not a good year.
No.
But we've changed this metric where dingers are strikeouts, and we got to – let me be clear. There's the two most embarrassing things you can do in baseball. We've got to get back to being embarrassing. We need to get back to you hang your head in shame, specifically if you take a third strike like that.
Oh, my God.
That's where your teammates come back at you, and they'd look at it and go, what?
You got to drop that head after that.
You got to do this face right here and go, what? Yeah. What are you doing? And then, or swinging and missing on a third strike, like that's choke up and put the ball in play. Make them make an out somehow, somewhere.
Yep.
That's embarrassing to see.
I know that for a lot of teams, they're not even really looking at batting average as much. They look at how hard you're hitting the ball and home runs and power and like you can be hitting 217 or lower and get caught and get moved up.
That's crazy.
Which is why when you have somebody like a Cam Cannarella who's been hitting 400 and 360 and whatever, yeah, that's the people you see rise so quickly.
Yeah.
Because it's really rare now, especially with how good pitching is.
Brewer struck out 14 last night.
Yeah, dude, that guy had 10.
That's crazy.
Nasty.
All right, so we'll talk about that. We've got we'll talk the Dylan Hunter stuff a little bit today. PGA Tours in Greensboro. The LIV Tour gets a stay of execution, they say. We'll see about that. And then Georgia had their first practice yesterday. Clemson first practice today. South Carolina first practice tomorrow. Lot to do. Busy. Segment two when you come back right after this.
The countdown is on. Is on. 30 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles. Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings.
Randle to the right hand side of Klubnik. And they'll go play action. They want to go long. He's wide open. Touchdown, Wesco. All right. Tanya Calder.
105.5, 97.5, The Roar. The Roar, where every day is game day.
Hey, our great friends at Double Dog Video, check them out. Look, why do you need video? Yeah. But you know why? Because your competition's got video. They're showcasing their business right now. They're showcasing their people. They're featuring their people on videos. They're featuring other products. They're featuring service on videos. And so your clients are going to their websites, and they're accentuating their whole business. They're telling these great stories. You need it as well. Don't bury your video deep into your website, deep into your social media. Let's come up with it. Let's make people want to see it. And the way to do it, Double Dog Video. So much more affordable than you think. The Double Dog Dare says if you don't like it, they'll give you money back. We love Double Dog Video. We love what John did for us. Check them out online. Find out about the Double Dog Dare. They give you money back if you return your video and you don't like it. No one's ever done that. It's DoubleDogVideo.com.
We make traffic a little more tolerable. The Upstate Sports Leader.
That's right.
The Roar.
Have those annoying fruit flies.
They prepare footballs in the NFL. 11 steps of oil and balm and brushing and putting them in the sun and conditioner and mud and buffing. Like, yeah.
What I think is hilarious is that who makes those footballs? Wilson?
Are they Wilson balls?
I think so.
Yeah.
Wilson goes ahead and puts a conditioner on it, like just basic.
Then you strip it off.
And then they're like, nah.
That's crazy. Like, I thought you bought a ball and you just played with the ball, but that's not the case. Anyway, with that being said, segment two, Miss Ashby Mixon.
We've got, as I said in segment one, we've got a bit of drama on our hands with Boston College basketball. Which, by the way, if you're talking about Boston College basketball in August, this is not for the right reasons that you want to be talking
28
about
years
it.
Of doing the show, we never talked Boston College basketball in August.
Absolutely not. Well, they as a program, really... there's not much to say, except they got a new coach. They got in Luke Murray, who was Dan Hurley's assistant at UConn. His dad is Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And what you have happen is a program that it was at the very bottom of the ACC the last few years has not been good. I don't think they've won a tournament game since 2007. Things haven't been great in many sports for BC in the past few years. However, what has been good, apparently, is their radio play-by-play guys. They've been there for a bunch of years. Fans love them. And last week, they were told out of nowhere that they will not be returning for Boston College basketball games. They say they couldn't even get a meeting with the new coach, Luke Murray. He wanted nothing to do with them, and then they were let go last minute because of him. Now, the AD came out and said, no, this was a choice by the administrators. This was a choice by us, not the coach, so don't put it on him. So my question is, regardless...
Irregardless, yes.
Why fire these guys?
This was... This is the AD covering for Murray. It's my understanding in the original deal that Murray, the new coach, wants to clean house and no one associated with the program was going to be retained.
They weren't, though. They had been through multiple different tenures.
Yeah. I think this is the AD covering because the coach, these two guys are popular, and now the coach looks unpopular based upon a decision. Mm-hmm. So I think the AD is laying on the grenade here for the coach. With that said, it's hard, you know, play-by-play guys and color guys, they're part of your family and they're part of your it's hard. Even if you're not good, it's hard to get rid of them because – people give the play-by-play guy, your local play-by-play guy, a lot of leeway. Mm-hmm. And they're one of us. And, man, we're in the trenches with them. Hunker down, you hairy dogs. Like, they're preaching to us and talking to us. There's a connection between a play-by-play and a color guy and the fan base and the audience. And so this is a tremendously difficult ask of Murray to come in. The fans aren't connected to the team doctor. The fans aren't connected to the nutritionist.
No.
The fans aren't connected to the strength coach. So that's easy to do that. But the biggest connection, the common denominator among all the coaches and all the wins and all the losses and all the administrators, all the ADs come through there is the play-by-play guy and the color guy. And it is a very difficult thing to do to get rid of them. You don't see play-by-play guys and color guys in college level. You don't see them getting fired. They'd retire or they move on to something better. But they don't get fired because it's the pushback from it. The connection is hard to break. And I understand Murray wanting a break, but not at this part of the department.
Let me say this. A radio announcer is responsible for a previous coaching staff's failures? Really?
Well... Now, I don't agree with this, but you know, you get close. You go on the road, you eat with them, and you drink with them, and you travel with them, and you see it. And so maybe you feel like, I don't know, man, this guy's one of them, and if things go right, he might be talking to the old coaching staff about this or what are they doing. You know, you have a relationship with people. You're not going to break that off. So, man, I disagree with it. I wouldn't have fired him. But I kind of can see a little bit of that.
Yeah.
You know, if Dabo Swinney got fired at Clemson, the new head coach, I mean, Don Munson and Tim Beret, they have relationships with Dabo Swinney. They're still going to talk to Dabo Swinney sometimes and might come up and might, yeah, it's paranoia. It's not the right thing to do, but I kind of see a little bit. At least I don't agree with the thought, but I can kind of see it.
Fair. But for this to be your first act, but not even your first act because you let it wait so long. That's that's one of the worst parts about it to me is, okay, if you were going to make this move, you got hired months and months ago, right?
Yeah.
Do it immediately. Don't just leave them in the dark and say you're out of town when they want to meet and, you know, have somebody call them and do it right before the year starts. That all was mismanaged, right? Because then they would have had time to get other work.
Yes.
But now... you're up a creek with no paddle.
Yeah. The play-by-play guy is currently the play-by-play guy for the Milwaukee Brewers, too. So he has a job. The color guy, Kevin Collins, was, I think, just the basketball guy there. Or in some cases, he did the games alone while the Brewers were out during, you know, baseball season, whatever it might be. So it's not good. I have a couple of questions for you, though.
All right, hit me.
This is Bill Murray's son, Luke Murray. it's not a popular decision. He needs to be popular. Does it surprise you? Check this out. Let me look up Luke Murray quickly. When you go back and look at Luke Murray's pedigree, mm-hmm. he coached at Louisville under Mac at Louisville. And he coached under Dan Hurley at UConn. That's his last two places he's been.
Yep.
Kind of checks out a little bit.
Yep. That feels like a Hurley move, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, and he was with Dan Hurley at Wagner. He was with Chris Mack at Xavier. Like, so he's been with these two guys since 2010. Like, he cut his teeth with Chris Mack and Dan Hurley. You know? So it sounds that way to me.
If he can go and turn it around really quick, and BC has some success this year. They finish in the top half of the ACC. They get a couple signature wins. Nobody's going to be talking about this anymore, I don't think. Yeah. However, that is a big, tall task year one. And if you struggle, this is going to be a narrative that goes on all season long.
Now, I have some questions to ask as well. This is Bill Murray's son. Kevin Collins is the announcer, and Josh Maurer is the announcer. I think we need to have a movie come out and it'd be called What About Kevin?
Why I Did It.
What About Kevin? Scrooged. You know, he took away something that didn't like there. The one thing I could tell you about Boston College basketball the last couple of years, it feels like Groundhog Day. Those guys are no longer the kingpins of radio. The one thing we learned too is nothing lasts forever. Hey, I can tell you this. I don't even know this move, but
something
friends like these.
Something between the coach and the administrators and the and the radio guys got lost in translation.
It got lost in translation. It did. Luke Murray needs to get smart.
What about Kevin?
What about Kevin?
Josh.
Yes.
Listen, BC has some ghosts they need to bust.
They need some ghost busting in Boston College's basketball stuff there for sure.
Do you think, like, that's got to be the craziest Nepo, non-Nepo story of all time?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, my dad's a really famous actor in the 80s. I'm the head coach of Boston College basketball. What?
Yeah, you know he's going to show up. Boston, Luke needs to use it because he's still very, very popular.
And he was a super popular guy at UConn. All the players, all the coaches, they were all so excited for him. I remember seeing it when he got this job. And you're a young head coach, and I understand that it's a learning curve and whatever, but you have got to get some popularity and quick because this whole fan base is dying for something good to happen.
It's been a little shop of horrors there. and apparently those guys have sat and earned their stripes. You know one Bill Murray movie that I loved that's weird and strange, but I loved was The Royal Tenenbaums. Have you seen it?
That's a Wes Anderson movie, isn't it? I got to see that.
I don't know Wes Anderson.
He's the one, he did Grand Budapest Hotel. All those.
I don't know.
I only know because my brother.
Yeah. It's a good one, though. Anyway, it's an interesting story out of Chestnut Hill, and I feel bad. And Luke Murray, you got to be smarter than that, man. You have to be smarter than that.
Riff Raff.
I enjoyed segment two. Oh, seriously? Here's a movie that Bill Murray did in 1984. BC Rock. This has rocked the BC basketball
that
world.
That is close to home.
Yes.
I will say, give Luke Murray this. If you grew up on the set of Space Jam,
yeah,
I think I, too, would want to go into a career coaching basketball.
Yep.
The Monstars.
I think, now, Luke Murray shaves his head. I think he needs to come out like Big Ern McCracken and have that big comb-over deal in there. That's what I think, that's for sure.
This is a different topic, but the days of the comb-over are dwindling. You don't see a good comb-over anymore.
No. That's what the Razor did. That's what the razor did.
That's what they took from you.
Yep, yep. That's when white guys try to shave their head like black guys. When black guys looks good, white guys doesn't look good. But we decided we wanted to do it too, and it just doesn't look as good on us. But we tried, and that there out went the comb over. I have one guy that I know that's got a mullet and a comb over, to which I always say, "Man, to be bald, he sure does have a lot of hair." Short
it's
break.
Like overcompensating.
Oh man, it's awful. It's the worst of the comb overs and the worst of the mullets. Short break. We will come back, and when we do, I'll get this 3-minute video of what teams do to NFL footballs that had no idea about the 11 steps of prepping an NFL football. It's gonna be an interesting video we'll play here when we come back. Much more to this.
There are many reasons why families across South Carolina love First Steps 4K. Children get a safe place to learn, play, make friends, and build the skills they'll need for their future. Enrollment is happening now. Visit free4ksc.org.
I have, I know nothing about these poncho shirts, but I'm looking at poncho shirts right now, and I can see, I know a bunch of guys that are going to love this button-down short-sleeve look and the plaids and some different colors and all that. So when I first heard that Elkmont has ponchos, I had to go look them up and see. You have poncho shirts. Now they have L.L. Bean, and I know what L.L. Bean is. I've seen that forever. And to go along with the On running shoes, the Birkenstocks, the rainbow sandals. I bought so many of those through the years for my wife. Patagonia and Columbia and Free Fly and Costa and Viore and Howler Brothers and Poncho Outdoors and Z Supply. Man, they've got Filson. They've got it all, and they're going to love it. I'll tell you one company I like. I like this outdoor research company. They make some really cool summertime apparel as well. Hey, if you haven't been to Elkmont, you hadn't been to Clemson, check out all of the apparel, the shoes, the accessories. Check out all the jewelry, the ladies of the boutique part of it, the game day apparel that's right around the corner for you. Clemson game day for both men and women. Check all this great stuff out. And even your accessories for Clemson football. Do that at Elkmont Training Company, 93-123 in Clemson's. Elkmont always says, go Tigers.
The MLB lives here.
That ball is gone.
The roar.
Peculiar guy in a lot of these, which is not really acting so good. Yeah, texture of Boston College basketball's Little Shop of Horrors. That was another weird one. Love that.
That's a good one.
They're all earning their stripes. Yes, yes. I like when the callers get in for it. That's really good. Slaptown Tiger says, so you're telling me he's alienated all 5 Boston College fans with this move? That's what amazed me. When we went to Boston for the first time, C.J. Spiller's freshman year, mm-hmm. and Clemson got beat up there in a missed extra point, or an overtime kind of deal in there, it was in September, so the Red Sox were playing, and so Clemson is getting ready to play Boston College on a Friday, you know, it was a Friday night, and we're up there in Boston, get home and try to get to bed early, whatever, and watching the news and sports talk about the Red Sox game, the local sports, you know.
Yeah.
And then they talked about the training camp with the upcoming Patriots game. And then they talked about the Celtics or some move in front office of the Celtics or something. And they talked about the Bruins. And they talked about some regatta that Harvard and MIT and Yale or somebody was having on the Hudson or whatever that river is there, Charles River. Anyway, but they talked about it, and like, then they said, all right, back to you for weather, Bob, or whatever. It's like, wait a minute, man, like, Clemson, Boston College, huh? And so then we're in downtown Boston, and get your Clemson apparel on, and people are like, what's that little kitty cat paw? What is that for? And they don't even know. And Chestnut, have you been to Chestnut Hill yet?
I have.
It's, you know, it's an interesting place, but it's like it's not. It is Boston, but it's not. And so it's not important there. Mm-mm. It's so far down the list of priorities there. We were sold on TV markets. But if nobody's watching on TV market, like, who cares? Anyway.
That's a lot to compete with, right? Some of the biggest market teams in the country, most historic teams in the country.
Yeah.
When you come down south, outside of, you know, the NFL teams and the cities and the Braves, that's the thing that everybody gets behind.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of walking into a tough situation as a coach there where you have to make people care.
Yeah.
Right? And the way that you make people care is by winning. And they haven't done that in a long time. So it's kind of this feedback loop. you know?
Yeah, winning takes care of a lot of things. And when they're, like, the Red Sox are winning now, and the Patriots have won a lot, and the Bruins have won a lot, and the Celtics have won a lot. So maybe in there it's even more, because, you know, these people aren't – Boston College is a small school. Most people that live in Boston never even been to Chestnut Hill before. So there's no reason to do all that. All right, let me do this video. And by the way, a Georgia fan sent us this, that they do this in college football as well. I'm looking at I'm on the ninth step now for Georgia football. This is on an Instagram account, and how the drying process and all the conditioners and all the cleaners and all the mud, and you got to put all that on there too. I didn't know that this happens this way, but this is a video. This is for the Chargers, one of the Chargers equipment guys. And he just kind of walks you through it. And I think he talks you through it enough. It's going to be decent enough radio. Check it out. Do a YouTube search of it or a Google search of it. But I learned something. Ashby, you learned something.
For sure.
And so let's go through what happens to NFL football before it's ready for gameplay.
NFL football, taking it from this to that. All right, this is the first step. We're brushing off all the preservative on the ball. Wilson puts a preservative on it so that the ball hide won't dry out. We're brushing that off, and we're just waking up the leather. All right, step two here, we're going to start oiling the footballs. Whenever you're doing anything with the footballs, we're always mindful of the laces, and we don't go inside of that. We want to keep a nice, clean, raised lace. When you first got a ball when you were a kid, you'd take it outside, throw it on the turf a couple times with your friends to give it that nice broken-in feeling. That's all we're doing here. We're just doing it in a more controlled environment. All right, step three, balls are oiled. We're going to let them sit outside, start to absorb that oil, maybe get a little bit of heat on them also. All right, after applying the oil and letting the balls cook outside for a little bit, we brought them back inside, let them cool off, and now we're going to apply some leather balm. Going to help soften the leather. It's also gonna give it a little bit of a tackiness. All right, step five, now it's time to brush the balm in. The brush is the best way to distribute. Think about like shining a pair of shoes. A lot of the similar products we're using here and similar practices. Taking the balls out, letting the balm cook on them in the sun for a little bit. Step six, we're gonna put a little conditioner on the ball. This sit on and dry, and then you're gonna do mud after that. Step seven now, we're going to mud the footballs and create our mud mixture. We're going to use our football/baseball rubbing mud. We already have a baseline of our mud mixture. Add a little bit of leather conditioner to it. Create our mixture of mud. And here we go. Nice thin application. The more mud you put on, the harder it is to get off, the longer it takes to get off. Just allow these to sit right here, rest and dry for about an hour. Then we'll come back, brush off the mud with our firm bristle brush and put on the finishing touches. Step eight now, you can see that the mud has dried on the football. We're going to go ahead and brush off the mud now.
When we're brushing the mud off, you try to avoid these logos. This brush can be a little abrasive and they can scrape off those logos.
We got the mud off a couple of these footballs now. We're going to do one of the last steps, which is add another layer of the conditioner. And all we'll have to do is do a manual brush and reinflate our footballs, and we'll be ready to go. Our conditioner is now dried. Our last steps here is going with a nice soft bristle. We're just gonna buff that conditioner to make that conditioner kind of pop. It's been buffed. We gotta get it back up to regulation PSI. We deflated all these footballs to 6 PSI. Regulation is between 12.5 and 13.5. So let's go use our Wilson Haltech ball inflator to get it back up to PSI. We have the Haltech set to 12.7. 12.7 for quarterbacks keeps us in that sweet spot. We're within the regulation. Not too little, not too much. Ready to go. Today we're going to show you how to prep an NFL football.
11-step process. And that's oil and balm and sun and conditioner and mud. It's like a spa treatment.
It's a spa day. You know the rest of the footballs that didn't get picked are like,
oh, man.
Man.
I had no idea.
This is so cool.
Why wouldn't, and each team does that. Like, why wouldn't the NFL just do that? Why wouldn't Wilson just do that? Or whoever makes the Nikes do it? Or why wouldn't they just do that? And then your balls arrive like they're game ready. Does everybody not do it the same way? Like, some quarterbacks want more conditioner, less conditioner, more mud, less mud. More preservatives. Like, I don't understand that part of it.
I bet it's a little bit different from team to team. And my thought would be if Wilson just did it right? Then by the time it gets to you, maybe it's not fresh anymore. It's not good to go anymore.
Steve Meese said, how did Terry Bradshaw ever complete a pass without this type of ball treatment?
I think my favorite part is the mudding.
And if you could hear it on there, the video shows it, obviously. It's a light mud because he has to wear a mask to buffer off. You know, it's almost like a sandpaper thing, you know, where you're like, we sharpened my lawnmower blades on a rotating, sharpener kind of thing. That's what you do, and it's this buffering stuff, like you see with shoes, like you said. Mm-hmm. But they're a little harder stuff, and he didn't want all that dust getting in his lungs and all. Like, this guy's putting his life on the line.
Yeah. He's a true servant.
Yeah, a future, not asbestos claim, but some sort of, there's going to be some lawyer somewhere saying, well, you're a ball boy in the NFL, well, you're an equipment manager. Did you come out with mesothelioma?
You could be entitled to compensation.
Yeah, I'll get you your cash. It's like, what?
Call now.
Man, that's crazy.
That is so cool to me.
Now,
fascinating.
Tyler Anderson says, now look up the guy who sells the mud. He has a secret location where he gets the mud from. Like, what? We don't even know what the mud is or where it comes from.
What is this whole subculture that we have stumbled on?
I had no idea. I didn't know this would be the case. I thought, like, you, Wilson made the ball. You blew the ball up. You put air in it. How about that? How about the machine that gets it at, like, exactly 11.7 PSI? It's got to be between 11.5 and 12.5, whatever it is. And it gets you to the tenth of a PSI. I just grew up, you put the needle, you had to put the needle in your mouth first to moisten the needle, and then you just pump the ball up. I didn't know you had digital PSI machines.
That's why basketball's easy, man. You just work them in by playing.
You don't think they do it in basketball?
I just looked it up. They don't.
They don't. Now there's different PSIs for basketball, right? Because didn't Brad Brunell say that the FIBA ball they use was a little more inflated than the college basketball they use?
Yep, that one's a little bit different. It also has a different feel to it, like the design of the actual ball. But in basketball, like, it's the grip is going to be so weird trying to dribble if it has all that conditioner on it.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Uh-uh.
Texture 8607 says, I've heard Major League Baseball gets their mud for their balls from Charleston and the Ashley River. Just a rumor. I didn't know this kind of stuff. In baseball, I do know once you get the baseball, you do have to condition the baseball. And now we're talking about, you got to have close to, I don't know how many, and rain games are different. I don't know, how many NFL footballs do they carry into a game? Let's look this up now. Each team brings 12 primary offensive footballs and 12 backups. So that's 24 per team. You got to do 48. And this is just game balls. Now, you know, when you travel, you got to have your kicker's got to have 10 or 12, and your quarterback's got to have those. The DB's got to have theirs. Linebacker coach got to have theirs. Well, we're talking about over 100 footballs, I'm sure. But as far as the game day itself, each team will bring their 12 primary offensive footballs and 12 backup footballs. So you get 24 per team just to use during the game. And I guess you have kicking balls. There's an inspection. I tell you something crazy about the NFL people might not know. They test the surfaces for rebound and how hard the surfaces are. And there's some sort of apparatus that we use to test how firm a field is or how soft a field is, and it's got to be within a certain parameters there. To be honest with you, I think we're overthinking this a little bit. Ashby, my ninth grade year in high school, we played down at Dreher High School, and Colin Mackey was our place kicker, right, who kicked to South Carolina. So it's rare, but ninth grade teams, we actually kicked extra points. Most ninth grade teams like go for two. Well, in Dreher, in one end zone, there's a great big tree. So they didn't have a goal post down that one end zone. So you had to go, like, we scored in one end zone. We had to go 100 yards to the other end zone to kick an extra point. The NFL's taking it. I think we might have underthought it, but I think they might have overthought it. That's crazy.
All right, I'm kind of in a deep dive now. We had a caller get in and say, hey, check out this.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it.
All right. Top of the hour. Let's do this. I want to hear about that so much more. Hour two right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560. Cowpens 97.5.